Today I'm going to speak about the America's Health Rankings, which is a state-level rankings project that ranks the states based on public health indicators, so 1 through 50. And the presentation is based on my work for and with Dr. Tom Ricketts at UNC. Dr. Ricketts is the chair of the Scientific Advisory Committee for the America's Health Rankings. This is my disclosure. I work for the University of North Carolina, but part of my salary is funded by a grant from the United Health Foundation, which sponsors America's Health Rankings. And I work on the rankings in a support and advisory kind of role. I don't have anything to do with the direct production or calculation or promotion of the rankings. This is the overview of what I'll be talking about. First, I'll give you some background on the America's Health Rankings project, talk about some challenges we've had with the rankings. Then really the centerpiece of the presentation is examples of how four states have used the rankings to drive initiatives to improve health in their states, and then just a bit of a wrap-up on the value of this rankings project and rankings in general. So first of all, what are America's Health Rankings? They are an annual ranking of the health of the 50 U.S. states, and there's really two prongs, the primary audiences, both the general public and state and community health policy leaders. They're sponsored by the United Health Foundation, but published in partnership with APHA and with the Partnership for Prevention. And all the rankings I'll show you from this project are actually from 2008. The 2009 rankings are coming out next week, and you can check them out at the rankings website. The overall goals of the rankings, pretty broad, but improve the health of the nation by providing information that supports positive change in population health. And also, it's important to the project to really maintain methodologically and philosophically the tone of previous editions of the rankings so that there's some continuity. And I mean, this is important for credibility, because if you, if you see that your state's improved, is that, you need to make sure that that's because there actually was some real change instead of just, well, we just changed how we calculated it. Every year, the annual release of the rankings comes out on the website, but also in a booklet, and it includes a page about each state that highlights not only all the individual statistics that go into the rankings, but a bit about each state's strengths and weaknesses or challenges. Discussion of some national trends, so aggregating data across all the states, and as well as written commentaries and essays from public health leaders and public health researchers. Just some quick background. The United Health Foundation got this rankings project when they acquired Northwestern National Life Insurance Company. And the methodology, although continuity is important, the methodology and components of the rankings have evolved quite a bit over the past 20 years. They've added a lot of new measures to the index, and there's really been a shift to focus on risk factors, health risk factors, rather than outcomes. Just a little bit more background. The Rankings Project, United Health Foundation, decided to establish a scientific advisory committee several years ago. This is chaired by Dr. Ricketts at UNC, and they meet once a year and just review methodology, possible enhancements to the rankings, new applications. This is the conceptual model on which these rankings are based. So there's health outcome measures, and then four groups of health determinants that are listed here, and then this little graphic in the bottom right is the way this is just lifted from the 2008 report. And so this is the way people are supposed to see them working together. This may be a little bit small, but I just wanted to show these are actually all the components that went into the rankings in 2008, each under their categories. And there's a couple that are new that were new for 2008, a geographic disparity measure and an air pollution measure. Just to show you how it all comes out, these are the top and bottom states in 2008. Sort of self-explanatory. This is an example of what I was talking about in terms of continuity. These are graphs that are taken from the 2008 report, and so this is aggregate data for all the states. And so it does give a nice picture of what's going on in the country as a whole. All the way on the left, I'm sure you can't see the numbers, is 1990. Going up to 2008, and it plots percent of population. Three of them have percent of population on the y-axis, and but on the bottom right, the overall health status is percent change, and you can see that that's actually stalled since 1990. Can you talk a bit about the challenges to the rankings? One of the challenges that comes up with the committee every year is filling gaps in components of the rankings. So an example of this is the air quality measure, which, as I mentioned, is new to the 2008 report. This is a long-awaited, long-desired measure of environmental health, which was not included, which had not been included in the rankings previously. And I mean, just using air quality really doesn't, I mean, it ignores lots of other environmental health type measures, lead or drinking water quality, any number of other sorts of ways you could measure environmental health in states, but air quality had the advantage of having state-level data available every year, publicly available. So the committee had recommended, including it as a proxy for environmental health, even though, it's pretty selective. Geographic disparities, another one that was added in 2008, and this is the range of age-adjusted mortality rates that exist at the county level. And another thing that's been discussed at the Scientific Advisory Committee meeting every year for the past couple of years is if there's a way to get an appropriate measure of regulatory activity at the state level. So far, we don't have anything like that. Still included in the rankings is an occupational fatalities measure. This is one of the, I list this as a challenge because for occupational fatalities, there's actually very low variation across the state. So that is a challenge for including it in an overall rankings of all the states. And then the sort of more abstract question of how the role of personal responsibility versus policy issues are balanced and how these rankings components and results are presented. So for example, there was a category of measures that was called personal behavior, and that included smoking, drinking, and obesity rates. But in the 2009 report, will just be called behavior. And so there was some concern among the advisory committee members that this is said that using personal behavior implied that it was only a personal problem, not a policy problem. And in North Carolina, with a big tobacco legacy, there's actually quite a lot of policy and politics involved in something like smoking rates. And just some final challenges, whether how you balance health determinants versus health outcomes, and also how you actually turn publishing these rankings into some sort of action. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. This is a bit of an aside. Just to say, essentially, the America's Health Rankings Project isn't the only state health rankings report or publication that's out there. The Commonwealth Fund has a state scorecard. They use different components. It's calculated differently. It's not done annually. But you can see that there's a good amount of overlap. These are the top and bottom states for the most recent reports for each one. And the Commonwealth Fund actually includes the District of Columbia in their rankings, whereas the America's Health Ranking does a page about DC, but doesn't actually give them a number. So now I'll talk a bit about four examples of states that have used these rankings to actually drive some action on health at the state level. And I don't know, is anyone here from any of these four states? No? Okay. Well, I can say whatever I want. I have personal experience with North Carolina, more experience with Maine, and probably the least with Washington. So I'll talk first about North Carolina. We have pretty bad public health indicators. We were ranked 36th in both 2008 and 2007, and we have never been in the top half. And this is reflective of poor indicators on a whole variety of measures. But concern about these measures led to the founding of a multi-stakeholder prevention task force, which was managed through North Carolina has a state-level Institute of Medicine. It's not affiliated with the national one. So this committee released what was called a prevention action plan. It's really like a textbook size in just last month after about 18 months of work, and that the PDF of this report is available at the website shown here. And the way they worked this was they pulled the 10 leading causes of death and disability for people in North Carolina and then worked backwards from there to identify evidence-based strategies to actually tackle some of those problems. And it also laid the groundwork for actually implementing and tracking some of the results of these proposed interventions. There was solid buy-in from the state-level Department of Public Health. And this is also being closely coordinated with the state-level effort to develop the state's own Healthy 2020 goals. And so they're really using this prevention action plan as the basis. And our State General Assembly did actually already partially in response to the draft version of this plan pass a program to reduce youth smoking. Okay, on to Washington. Washington State, they launched a program in 2004, saying a campaign to become the healthiest state in the nation. And this had a combination of policy work, grant making, direct services, and media outreach. And they call it the largest civic engagement project for health in Washington State history. And correlated, I won't say cause, their rankings did rise from 14th in 2004 when the project was started to 10th in 2008. But I think one of the most interesting things to me about Washington State is they were one of the first states to kind of make a big splash about this. And so it was an inspiration for North Carolina's work and other states. And they do produce their own health report card that was originally based on the measures that are in America's health rankings. In Maine, this is a fairly new initiative driven by Maine Health, which is a vertically integrated health system in Maine that covers quite a bit of their population. And so just beginning in 2008, they've been using the America's Health Rankings framework that I showed before to develop what they're calling the Maine Health Index. And they really want to apply this and use it as a way to guide investments in public health and to track improvements. And overall, just to better align the medical care side and the public health. So they had this. There's some parallels to the North Carolina process in Maine. They started by prioritizing certain indicators they wanted to tackle, kind of like how in North Carolina they started with the 10 leading causes of death and disability. I'm not sure how Maine chose these particular indicators, but and then they worked from there. They developed logic models to actually define what would feed into improving those indicators, and they're currently evaluating, you know, what initiatives are already out there in the state and developing new strategies. And the Maine Health staff has said that the rankings really have helped make the case to pay attention to population health. This is the last state I'll use as an example, and this is Wisconsin. Wisconsin's ranked the health of its counties, so at the county level, since 2003. And they recently received a grant from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to do the same at the county level for all 50 states, and this is the MATCH project. And I believe that the first county-level rankings report is expected early next year. They did have a session yesterday. I don't know if anyone else was at that. On the state side, we have two folks from this Wisconsin project that actually have been on the Scientific Advisory Committee for many years. And so we do have some discussion with them. And we're looking at how we can sort of best align some of the data and methodology. And one interesting thing about Wisconsin's county-level rankings is they actually rank them separately on health outcomes and health determinants and present health determinants as an indicator, the health determinants ranking as an indicator of what the state's future health may be and the health outcomes as what their current health is, whereas the state-level America's health rankings, it's all into one big measure. And so these are what they outline as some of the goals of this county-level project. And there's more information on this project at the Population Health Institute's website. So just some final takeaways. Rankings, not only America's health rankings, but rankings projects in general, like including the Wisconsin county level rankings, they do start conversations about public health, and they increase awareness of the kinds of determinants of health, and they can provide a framework to help measure improvement in health measures. And as you've just seen, they have stimulated a variety of state approaches using their existing public health structures. So every state's taken a bit of a different approach, but some common threads are the fact that they've really drawn in multiple stakeholders. There's a focus on using evidence-based strategies and having accountability, so measuring what actually happens after you try some of these strategies. And that's it. Thank you.